The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Heart, and you know, it has to be, you know, a pretty, you know, we've been practicing for many years, you know, it has to be pretty sophisticated what we're doing. And so we make it more difficult and complicated than it needs to be. Or we've read too many books or have too many instructions, and so we're trying to do it all and jump around. If it's not simple, it's not vipassana. So if you say that to yourself, that idea, or have that as a reference point, not that you're supposed to be simple, like you have to be simple, but rather, does it now highlight ways in which you make it more complicated than it needs to be? And that's how a reference point is really useful. Wow, I don't have to do all this stuff. But yeah, I'm making it more complicated. You know, I'm on a timeline. You know, I think, you know, I have 10 minutes left in the sitting, and, you know, and so probably I can go through, if I'm going to go through the 16 stages of Anapanasati in 10 minutes, that means you start calculating, you know, that means I should probably do it every 45 seconds, and how do I track that? And by the time that 10 minutes is over, you're still trying to figure out the math. And so that's, you know, you made it much too complicated for yourself. And so you can make it really simple. And so you see how you're kind of making it, you know, more than it should be. Or it could be the complication is that you discover that you have a lot of expectation about what this practice is going to do for you. And the whole kind of field is crowded with this expectation. This will, you know, do this whatever for me and solve all my life problems. Or this will do whatever. So what do you discover about yourself if you remind yourself, if it's not simple, it's not vipassana? And as you discover what's extra and what's not needed, maybe you can let go of that. And you might become simpler then, but the goal is not to be simple exactly. The goal is just to kind of really see what's going on clear and then find your way with that. Another reference point that I think can be very effective for highlighting a lot to kind of ferret out or kind of flush out some of the things that are going on that we don't necessarily see. And that is the little saying, slogan, nothing's at stake right now. There's nothing at stake. Just nothing's at stake. Have nothing at stake as you practice. And so to have nothing at stake means to have nothing that needs to happen. To have nothing tied, nothing hooked into the practice. If I do the practice then, you know, I'll be happy ever after. Or if I do the practice, then I'm sure that IMC will give me one of those little badges, you know, awards and medals that, you know, good meditator. And so that, you know, I can go around and, you know, feel like I'm an important person because I've... And so there's a lot of... Or I don't want to be a failed meditator. But, you know, and so there's a lot at stake. You know, it's very important. If you fail at meditation, you fail at everything else in life, and now you're going to fail at meditation, there's a lot at stake. And so you're sitting at the edge of your zafu, kind of like, you know, trying to make it work and so afraid of not making it work. So I'm trying to give silly examples, but you know, the what do you have at stake when you meditate? What are you trying to accomplish that you're depending on in a way that's actually not useful? That you're depending on that agitates the scene, that makes it more complicated than it needs to be, that interferes with your ability to just see things as they actually are. Because if we have expectation about what things are, we have something at stake, then it kind of clouds the vision or kind of has us kind of leapfrogging over the present moment, not really noticing what's here. So, and I use this in a lot of different circumstances. I tell myself, Gil, have nothing at stake. And I'm not telling myself to do that. It's more like I have that as a reference point. And it's almost like asking myself, what do I have at stake here? But I don't like to ask that question because then I start thinking about it too much. So I myself prefer the question, don't have anything at stake here. And I don't get caught by that as a demand or as an expectation or as a, you know, direction. It's not like an instruction for me. It's more like this, I'm highlighting this possibility, nothing at stake. Sometimes I just say that, nothing at stake. And then if nothing's at stake, then I just continue with what I'm doing. But then, so only by saying that do I start noticing, yeah, I have something at stake. I want people to like me. I want to be successful. I want to get kudos. I want to somehow get rid of things. I want to, you know, I have all these things that seem so important for that I do. So those two things. If it's not simple, it's not vipassana. And have nothing at stake as reference points rather than instructions. And what do you discover about yourself with those reference points? And will that make it easier for you to be in the present moment with the fuller way or more complete way? So those are my thoughts. We have about 5 minutes. And if anybody wants to ask a question or make a comment about that or offer a testimonial that something like that has worked for you.
So nothing at stake, I guess, is another form of a hindrance. Would that be correct? If there's something at stake in it, there's a fear associated with that, then that's a hindrance in itself.
Yeah, I mean, there are things at stake at times, right? So I mean, sometimes there are things that are at stake. Yeah. Something needs to happen, and and so if we have fear around that or preoccupation with it, then it can certainly be more complicated than it needs to be. And but for the purposes of meditation, I mean, in the real world out there, there are things at stake for sure that we have to, that have consequences. In meditation is kind of a very unusual free zone. And it's good to think of meditation as a free zone where, you know, like they have duty-free zones. You know, so it's kind of like, I don't know, it's a duty-free zone. There's no duties. and so recently I had to get new tires in my car because they were getting kind of bald, right? So I had something at stake. I was going to do this long drive. I was going to drive, I think, 250 miles, 500 miles, I think, in one day. And so I thought, I better get, you know, I have something at stake. I don't want to have problems with this. So in the real world, I figured out how to get tires in the car. In meditation, for this moment, it's a things at stake free zone. This is not the time to be concerned with that, thinking about it, to be caught up in it. Right now, there's nothing at stake. And so to be reminded of that, that allows me to let go of the concern for tires, because I've learned over the course of my life to spend a lot of time thinking about tires when I'm meditating is not very helpful. So I don't know if this addresses.
That answered my question.
Okay, great. Maybe one more.
Two similar phrases that I use during my meditation are nothing to do, nothing to say. And the nothing to say really helps me with the discursive thought.
Nice.
There's nothing to say. I've heard it all before. if I'm talking to someone else, they're not here.
Uh-huh.
So that nothing to say, uh-huh. Nothing to do, really seems to help.
Nice. Very nice. Great. So maybe some of the rest of you have your own little sayings that you found helpful. But so may you... keep it simple. Thank you.